We're doing the Nevi Yeshayahu. We're up to what's called the 28th chapter, the 7th Pasuk. The Nevi had been chastising the northern 10 tribes, speaking about how they were drunk, how they were focused on the amenities of life, and how they would be punished and how they would be destroyed because of their way of life. And now the Nevi turns southward and looks to the people of Judea and the judges and the nobles of Judea and Benjamin, the southern empire. And the Nevi says, "Vegam hele bayayin shagu uvashechar ta'u." And they too erred with wine. They erred with aged wine. Kohen v'navi shagu v'ashechar nivle'u min hayayin. The Kohen, the priest who's supposed to represent justice, he's supposed to be the educator. The Navi, who's supposed to guide the people to Hashem's path, but there were so many false prophets during this time. So their Kohen, who's supposed to educate, the Navi, who's supposed to rebuke and guide, shagu v'ashechar, they erred drinking aged wine, nivle'u min hayayin, they were destroyed because of their drunkenness, they're drinking wine, ta'u min hashechar, ta'u, they erred because of their aged wine, shagu baroe paku peliliyam. Shagu, they erred from the roe. Who is the roe? That's the prophet of Hashem. So they mocked the words of the prophet. Paku peliliyam. Paku is they weakened. They caused to stumble. Peliliya, the representation of clarity, which is another word for justice. Palil is to clarify or to do justice. So paku, they weakened, they caused to stumble peliliya, the justice system. So the pasuk needs a little bit of explanation. The pasuk seems to be rebuking them, but in fact the pasuk is actually giving them a certain merit, because the pasuk is saying that because of their drunkenness they erred like this. So then the claim is you shouldn't have been in pursuit of wine, they shouldn't have been into alcohol, but when they were drinking the alcohol, so that led them astray. This is food for thought, because very often we feel like there's nothing wrong with drinking a cup of wine here and there. I mentioned in shul a few weeks ago that we see from the beginning of creation the destructive capabilities of alcohol. Adam eats the forbidden fruit. He drinks some wine. He eats the grapes of the Eitz Hadas, and we bring about the death of the world. Noah comes out of the ark. He drinks wine, and you have the destruction. He loses a son, right? One son becomes a slave. We see right away this is a recurring theme from the beginning of creation, the capacity of wine to destroy.
Adam had wine?
The forbidden fruit was grapes or wine, whatever. It was grapes. However, whether it was intoxicating in the Garden of Eden or not, it brought about his downfall. I mentioned that when I was a kid, they would have Kiddush and Shul, and they would serve scotch. So every Shabbos after davening, everyone would have scotch, whiskey. And I suddenly realized, I reached an age, I might have been 14 or 15, I reached an age where I noticed all of davening, I was waiting for that scotch. And I looked at myself and I said, this isn't the way I want to be. And I decided I'm not drinking another cup of scotch. And for over a decade, I didn't touch any scotch or whiskey. Maybe it was a decade and a half. I was already married. And I hadn't touched for a decade or more. I hadn't touched it because I saw how it could grab my attention, how I could get into it. So I said I was disgusted. I said I don't want to be that. That's not where I want to be. But we have to realize that this is what alcohol can do to us. A person can be into it, and then the Navi over here is describing their downfall was because they were drinking. So then you say, but they weren't 100% sober. So then we go a step back and say, okay, then they should have been. There's a responsibility to be sober. And that's why the commentaries say by Purim that it's a disgusting thing. People think you have to go and get drunk on Purim. So we know there's an opinion that says you should get drunk on Purim. But there are others that say, no way. So many psukim warn us about what can happen if you get into alcohol. So we have two opinions. But here the pasuk gives us this perspective about the southern tribes. Yes?
It seems that, meat and wine for celebration. So that on one hand, there's this positive use of it. And it seems that it's also very individual. But it's almost giving the people a pass by saying, well, it's not your fault, it's not such a big thing, because you had good intentions, you just got carried away.
So let's see.
Someone drives. Many people can have a couple of drinks, go to a wedding and drive. Other people, it's suicide to put you behind the wheel when you're like that. And, it depends on the individual. And, it's playing with, something that you have to be responsible, you have to know yourself. Like you're saying, you did at least a shul where they waited till the end of Dominus. You well know their places, Jewish clubs, and things like that. And, people make rationalizations. At least it gets them to shul and this and that. But, and maybe it is better than what it would have been. But still, it takes the whole level of experience for them. Anyway,
Let's see. The Navi isn't done yet. Yes?
Can we extrapolate the yain, or we take it as a dupshat, yain, or yain? Or does it represent all the kind of lusts and earthly desires, which things, or we should look at this as yain, simply as yain?
It certainly seems like it's yain. In other places, the Navi speaks about their other lusts. Let's see the next pasuk for a minute. Ki kol shulchanot mal'u ki tzo'a b'li makom. For all their tables are filled with ki. What is ki? Vamin. Tzo'ah, what is tzo'ah? That's what comes out of the other aperture, right? Feces. So the Navi is speaking about their tables that they're sitting down to eat on are filled with ki and tzo'ah. So one understanding, simple reading of the pasuk, is that they're sitting at the table and they reach the level of drunkenness that they end their meals losing control of their needs, their bowels, and throwing up. Bilimakom. And there's no clean place. The tables, they end up in such filth. That's how they end their meals. So that's the simple reading of the pasuk. Our sages understood that the pasuk was saying something completely different. We quote this pasuk in Pirkei Avot. Ki kol shulchanot male'u ki tzo'a. Their tables are filled with vile, disgusting, and this is a metaphor when we speak about vomit and feces. Bilimakom, there's no representation of the omnipresent. Hashem isn't there at their table. Their table doesn't have the Ribon Shom. There's no Divrei Torah at the table. The table is simply a table of lust and desire, which is what Amir was saying. So, kiko shulchanot male'u kitzoah. Again, according to Chazal, it seems like their tables are pagan tables. They don't talk words of Torah, but rather they run their tables the way the pagans do. And so their discussions and their thoughts and their behavior are pagan behaviors. And kitzoah is very often an allusion to idol worship. When we speak about idols, idolatry, so we give it a derisive name. So he calls it ki and tzo'ah. So that's how our sages understood the pasuk. Ki kol shulchanot male'u ki tzo'ah b'li makom. And from here we have this idea that when we sit at a table, we should say a Dvar Torah. We don't have to pressure the guest to say a Dvar Torah, but we should say a Dvar Torah. Rashi quotes a custom that at every table they would read a verse from Torah, a verse from Navi, a verse from Ksuvim. Every table, every time they'd sit down to eat, they'd read a little bit of Torah, a little bit of Navim, a little bit of Ksuvim. So the tables were always tables of Torah.
We started this tradition between us every meal.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Every time we sit near each other, which is at least two times a day.
You read a little bit of Torah and Navim and Ksuvim?
We give it to our
to that point.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice.
He set a rule, and he doesn't want to say, who asks the Dvar Torah doesn't have to say one.
Very nice. Okay. Et mi yored deya, et mi yavin shemua. The Navi says, who can I teach? Who can I explain Hashem's Torah to? If the adults and the leaders are so defiled, who am I going to teach? Gemulei mechalav atikei mishadayim. Should I teach the babies who just stopped nursing? Should I teach the babies who have just been by their mother's bosom? So, who am I supposed to teach if this is where the leaders and the adults are? Our sages learned the pasuk is to be taken literally. The simple reading is he's asking a question. He's saying, where do you leave me? Who am I supposed to talk to? But our sages understood that he's saying literally, who are you supposed to teach? The children who are so pure. Who does Hashem care to ensure that they're educated? The children who are so pure. Et mi yored av, et mi yavin shmua, our sages understood, is a statement. Who does Hashem teach? Gimulei mechalav atikei mishadayim. The kids who have just stopped nursing. The kids who are completely pure. Ki tzav la tzav, tzav la tzav, kav la kav, kav la kav, ze'er sham, ze'er sham. This is a famous pasuk, and I think we'll pick up with this pasuk, Bezachem, next week, because we're almost out of time. We'll pick up here, Mizrach.